The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Anna Geary has her Cupid bow at the ready. She's back on screens. Television tonight, season 2 of Love in the Country. It's on RTE2 at 9:35. And I'm delighted to say Anna is with me. Anna, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm great, yeah. So tell us about the show. For people who didn't see season 1.
Yes. So it's back for series 2. It is a global format. So a lot of people, when I say, oh, farmer wants the wife, they go, oh, I lived in Australia and I watched it, or I lived in France or Belgium. So it is all over the world already. But we've Irished it up a small bit. So it's Love in the Country. And I think the characters are what make the show so brilliant. But the most important thing of all is, genuinely, Kieran, like, there are all these people that are looking to come on the show for valid reasons. You know, they want to meet somebody for, like, you know, for lots of different reasons. Some people want to find a partner and settle down and have a family. You know, we have a young man in his early 20s who admits, I don't know how to talk to women and I don't go on that many dates. I want to get better at that. So he's on the show for that reason. We have somebody in their 70s that his life decisions have brought him to this point and he feels lonely and he wants a companion. Mm-hmm. So it's lovely in that regard, because all the people that sign up to the show are doing it for lots of different reasons, but they're real. And what we love, I suppose, and what I love particularly is, it's the awkwardness of dating. You see it all. You see the good, the bad, the highs, the lows. Oh my God, he hasn't texted back for 5 days. The messiness of it. Yeah, exactly. Because we've all either been there ourselves in those dates, or equally those moments where there's a spark and you can see it jump off the screen. You see that all in Love in the Country, which is brilliant.
I often say that to my wife. I often say, you know, if you left me, I think I'd just stay single. I couldn't face all of that. Yeah. You know what? I just couldn't be dealing with this.
And it is. And it's harder now than ever before, because I suppose we live in that digital age where everything is on apps. But a lot of people that are involved in the show, they just don't find either success in the apps, or they just don't like the idea of going in an app or swiping right or signing up to something. And like, the reality is, in rural Ireland, there's lots of people that would love to meet somebody. Mm. But where they're located, and they're tied to it for a reason. You know, they might be a butcher or a school principal or a farmer or whatever, like, they might run a local cafe in that area and they can't go to the big towns and the cities to meet someone. And everyone in their locality is maybe someone that they sent a Valentine's card to, or they dated and they were 12 or whatever it is. So, you know, the pool is small.
It is. And life has changed a little, like, as in, you know, if you're farming, you could be on your own from Monday to Friday. No one might cross the threshold of the farm all week, as opposed to kind of years ago, you'd have more people coming and going.
Yeah.
And also, and obviously this is a positive thing, but one of the consequences of it is maybe loneliness. Like, you can't go up the road and have a few pints and drive home or anything, which meant, and people were doing that maybe a couple of nights a week. Again, I'm not defending it, but it meant there was a social outlet that suddenly wasn't there.
Yeah, and I think, I suppose, the places back even in my parents' time and grandparents' time, the places that people met someone have now changed. Like, my parents met at a dance hall. Like, that's effectively null and void. Nightclubs are closing down. Like you said, publicans themselves would say their business during the week is, you know, decimated. Mm. So we're not really replacing those outlets with anything else. And I think that's really sad. And listening to the people coming on and how much they really want to meet somebody, you know, it's great. And I think the entertainment value then comes from us being like the fly in the wall. Yeah. And you have those face in the pan moments. You go, I can't believe that person said that.
Don't say it.
But it's real. And that's what happens in dating. And I think that's why people have connected with the show, because we've all been there.
Had you any involvement, or have you had any discussions with people as to why they changed the name for here? Why is it not Farmer Wants a Wife?
Yeah, it's interesting. I suppose really, one of the main things is, it's not just farmers on the show. It's more rural Ireland. So they've widened the net a small bit. It's people. And I don't know, like, sometimes Farmer Wants a Wife might have connotations that people don't necessarily agree with. Whereas this is about the country. Like, even in the UK, it's Love in the Countryside. But we never say countryside. We say out here, it's like, you live in the country. So it's Love in the Country. And I think, it's important that when you're bringing a show to a country that you put the stamp on it. And there is definitely, you know, the Irish mannerisms, you know, the mannerisms, the crack, the one-liners, the characters, like, that's definitely in this show. If you watched other versions in other countries, it wouldn't necessarily have that crack, I think, that Irish people are known for. But, like, there's hundreds of couples that have come out of the show all over the world, and hundreds of babies, might I add, as well.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm hopeful. Yeah. I am hopeful.
speaking of, so is this kind of the return to work to a degree after baby? I know you probably never stop working.
When you
work for yourself.
I went back to work after 6 weeks.
Did you?
Yeah, because Supercharged, the health and wellbeing show that I do, was back on. And I said, you know, and you'll get this, I suppose in the world of media where sometimes it's really busy periods and sometimes not, you know, I knew that that show was there and it was really important to me. So I wanted to go back.
Yeah.
I wasn't going back to a 40-hour week. So I was going back to a weekend show. So it allowed me to kind of ease myself in. But definitely this summer, filming Love in the Country, I was back filming Ireland's Fittest Family.
Yeah.
You know, filling in, doing radio work. It was busy, but I kind of get my energy from that. You know, when, you're loving it. And it's not lost to me that it meant that there was a juggle. And sometimes I was on top of it, and other times I don't even think I washed my hair for days. But, you know, I suppose being back in it is definitely hard. And now that we have a 14-month-old baby running around the place, climbing everything he's not meant to climb. He's active when he lies in the back of her head. It definitely has given me a renewed sense of respect for people that do try and get the work-life balance juggle right.
Yeah.
Because it is hard.
And would you have felt bad now, say, when you went back to do Supercharged, or even this summer when it got much busier, or were you somebody who just, you know what, this is great, get me out of the house?
I never fully understood the term kind of the, you know, mom guilt, you know, but it is there. And I suppose, especially if we were away filming for a few nights at a time, you know, and I'm look, Kev is perfectly capable of minding his son. Sometimes you have people going, and where is Ronan now? I'm like, he's with his dad.
Kevin
isn't
is babysitting.
He great?
Isn't he great to be babysitting?
It's like, well, he's 50% belonging to him. I think being away from him, you know, you're missing him, obviously, but it's good for him too. You know, he doesn't make strange now. He's used to being around people. He loves being around people and he's very energetic. And I suppose it's good for me. I will say, though, I never thought that being at work would actually be more of a break than being at home, because it's so full on. Like, you know, when you're at home and it's, you know, you're watching them in every moment and you're thinking, what time's bedtime? And you're trying to do the maths and what time's the last meal and what time do I need to do this and what time's bath?
Oh no, they're napping too late in the
day.
Exactly, they won't go to sleep.
The danger nap.
Or they're overtired.
And then you have all the people's opinions that can come about. Are you doing this? No, you shouldn't be doing that. It can become overwhelming. But I think, you know, I've met a lot of my friends and said, you just kind of have to do what's right for you. And like you and I were talking off air earlier on, you know, every baby is different. And I think sometimes you just have to do what you need to do in order to survive and block out sometimes the other opinions.
And you have to tell, well, I used to always tell myself, everyone else has muddled through.
Yeah.
Nobody else kind of did a course before they had their baby. And, you know, kind of.
Generations
we've
of people have
over
gone
hundreds
before.
Of thousands, millions of years we've made it this far.
But I will,
I'm not going to be the one to stop it.
Yeah, but I will say, I think it's good sometimes for us to allow ourselves the chance to acknowledge that it's hard and to be okay to moan about it. Because sometimes people go, oh, you know, well, you signed up for it and you're not the only person that has a baby. I'm like, yeah, but it's okay, like anything, whether you're moaning or venting about a partner or about your job or about, sometimes you need to do that too, you know, but just, I suppose like that, he's, you know, he fills us with energy as well. So he takes it away from us, but he also gives us the energy too. So
when he was one in August.
Yeah.
In August.
Yeah.
God, last year was such an mad year for you.
Yeah.
Up and down.
It was like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when you lose anybody, your kind of your whole world gets thrown into disarray. So to go through the grief and then to go through, I suppose, the joy that comes from being a parent and also the uncertainty and being discombobulated and the blur that comes about. I suppose that there was definitely a roller coaster of emotions, but, you know, you kind of can't change those big, massive things that happen in your life, and they'll happen you know, and most random of days. But in lots of ways too, I genuinely try to, not try and make sense of it, because I don't think I ever will, but it's given me a different perspective on life now. You know, I think the fragility of it, the, you know, how things can change in the blink of an eye, and kind of not getting bogged down with the smaller things. Like I'm an overthinker by nature.
Okay.
And sometimes things would have worried me unnecessarily. But I suppose when big things happen in your life and you lose people, you know, that you love, it does make you realise, actually, you know, what am I stressing about this for? Or, you know, oh, does that person like me? Or did I do a good enough job? Or why didn't they text me back? Mm. And suddenly I realise, actually, that's not the most important stuff, you know. And I think it's given me a little bit of clarity and perspective as well, you know. Now, it's still hard, but, you know, I think that I kind of choose to lean into that because it's the only thing that I can do, you know. And if anyone has lost somebody, it's trying to get through it however you can get through it. And for me, it's just looking at it in that way, that I can't change what's happened, but I can kind of change how I live my life going forward. And it's nearly like I'm living my life in their honour now and just saying yes to things that sometimes I've been afraid to say yes to for fear of what people would think of me, or they'll think, she's got notions, or she's got... Now I'm just like, you know what, say yes to it and just see what happens.
You're probably, I don't know, but you're probably in that period where it's unexpectedly hard at times.
Yeah.
As in, there's the period initially where it's just awful.
I think.
And then it's probably all, you know, and not to say it's not always awful, but you know, then there's this window of time where it kind of creeps up on you unexpectedly. Mm. When something happens or someone says something, it's like, oh.
Yeah, I think there's these moments where you'd expect the grief and the loss to be, you know, overwhelming, you know, whether it's on birthdays or significant occasions. But I think you're nearly mentally prepared for those days. It is the random day where you'll see their favourite bar of chocolate or you'll hear a song on the radio and it will just, it will completely stop you in your tracks. And I think it's okay to feel like that too. I think that's the biggest thing. And it doesn't have to be lost. I think anyone that's out there, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether it's you've lost a job or, you know, you've lost your home or you've broken up in a relationship. If there's something massive happening in your life, it's kind of giving yourself permission to have those days as well. Whereas you don't always have to be like, well, I just have to look for the positive, or just sometimes it's all right to say, actually, you know, this is a really hard day. And it's about having the right people around you. I've definitely learned that in the last years. My circle has gotten smaller, and it's having the right people around you. Yeah. And just, they don't necessarily have to know what to say, but it's just knowing that they're there. I think that's a big thing. For you don't have to give people advice. You don't have to, you know, when someone is grieving, you don't have to say something because you can't fix it. But just being there, actually being there, I think that's key.
But isn't it, and I'm sure, I don't know, but certainly in kind of my experience of parenthood, it's such kind of like pure source of love suddenly kind of within the dynamic. It's like this kind of like a warm fire kind of on a cold day in the middle of all of it kind of Ronan being there. Like I'm sure that...
Oh, the sense of purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when, you know, losing two significant people in my life in just a short space of time and then Ronan arriving in the middle of it, he gave us purpose. You know, I mean, there was dirty nappies to be changed. He had to be fed. You had to get up and get on with it.
Yeah.
And he absolutely dragged us out of the grief, and especially in those immediate moments. And I suppose like that in some ways we're really fortunate with the timing. But it still made it extra hard too, because there were some days you didn't want to do anything and you didn't know how you were going to face the day. And again, you still had to get up, put one foot in front of the other. So I think it's, you know, looking back in it now, I kind of look back and go like, how have we done this? But you just find a way. But definitely the acknowledgement part, that I think is a big thing. And actually allowing ourselves, oh God, this word is bandied around a lot, you know, that vulnerable, and but actually it's okay. And I'm not someone that likes to ask for help. I find it really hard.
Yeah.
But actually sometimes putting up your hand.
You're good to offer it.
Yeah, I would like to think I am, at least. Maybe you should ask my friends and they'll be give you more of an accurate description. But I would think so. I think there's a lot of people in life at the moment that are going through things we know nothing about. And definitely, I would like to think that the last 2 years has given me, I suppose, a taster of a little bit more empathy.
Yeah.
And understanding sometimes it all isn't what it seems, and to give people the benefit of the doubt. Because sometimes people will say and do something and it's easy to jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, you know what? Maybe they're having a bad day.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know.
There's no situation in the world that's not improved with the injection of a little empathy.
Yeah.
Almost none.
Yeah. And I was talking to somebody about this recently, actually, about younger kids in schools. And I think, you know, the idea of them learning about emotional intelligence, and because as adults, a lot of us are so, I suppose, we're unaware of that, the impact that we have on others, and whether or not we think that we're being empathetic, but we're not, or that we think we're listening and that we're not. Whereas I think that needs to be taught in schools. To me, that's just as important as learning maths and their spellings and all that, that making them into better humans. And I would, I suppose, like that, in the midst of all that hardship, I would like to think that in a weird way that I've come out of it a slightly better human.
So after Love in the Country, what else is on the agenda?
So Ireland's Fittest Family is out then. So
when
tonight,
is that back?
At the end of the month. So Love in the Country is on tonight. So episode 1 and RT2, 9:35. And then the end of the month, Ireland's Fittest Family is back. And I was away from it last summer because I was in the middle of having Ronan. And I suppose
the decibel level was reduced.
It wasn't at all. Because Nina Carberry said she upped her game. She upped the decibel level. But, you know, I thought I was going to come back to this. You know, people say, oh, you know, being a parent grounds you and, you know, makes you calmer and more.
You weren't thinking about Ronan and you're screaming to tell him to get over that wall, I'd say.
I came back more competitive than ever before. I think I probably came back slightly madder. I came back with vengeance this year, which, you know, from an audience perspective is great, because the competitiveness between the coaches is real. I'll probably be hiding behind the couch though when it's on, as the episodes are on. But it's great.
It's been a great success and hugely enjoyed up and down the country, as is the first season of Love in the Country. It's back tonight. the 7th of October today, 9:35 RTE2. Anna Geary, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.